Marty in the Morning on RTE Lyric FM with Spry Finance. Keep living the life you love.
Marty in the Morning on RTE Lyric FM, where life sounds better.
Now, I had the great opportunity the other week of going around to Michael Colgan's home and meeting up with himself and Michael Gambon in the house. Michael was over for the last 3 weeks of Michael Colgan's tenure at the Gate Theatre, and I had the chance to meet up with him. And what a joy, what an absolute gentleman. But here it is. Here's now we have a fuller version, which we will share with you another day. But for today, here's our chat as we settle ourselves down in Michael Colgan's house to have the chat with the great Michael Gambon. Michael, you may not remember this, but we had a moment many years ago.
Oh.
Look at that. The actress. Do you remember the actress that movie that you made here?
I have memories of it. Oh, dear. All the names.
Do you remember it?
Where was this done?
In Dublin, basically in the Barclay Court.
Oh,
and you, I have this great memory of you. You had the wig on, you see.
Yes, that's right.
And you may notice I was somewhat darker at the time.
Yes, you had that more.
Thank you for that.
How many years ago was this?
I know the actress. Dylan Moran, he's still going. Michael Caine's still going.
I loved him.
But there you are, doing your Irish accent, yeah. Your Dublin accent.
Hello. All right, that's Dublin.
That's it?
Oh, Jesus. Mary, don't go through that door. Mary, sit down.
But you had great fun. You had great fun on the movie because you were shedding your Dublin accent right across the hotel, and Michael Caine was trying to do his bit and stuff.
Yeah, Michael Caine was lost. He didn't really know what's going on.
It was great fun, though.
Yeah,
it was good fun.
I enjoyed every minute.
Oh, you're playing a gangster.
I was a gangster.
That's what you were.
A real heavy killer.
Yes.
And I was very good at the part.
You were very good, I thought.
You know, I'm not saying that now for fun. I mean,
no.
One of the best actors there.
It's not the only one.
The only one.
I was in it for 8 seconds, but I loved the moment.
Oh, you were very good in that part.
Thank you for that, and thank you for noticing it. Yeah. So you've adorned the wall ever since.
And thank you very much for showing me that.
Not at all.
Very impressive. But I don't like having to put a wig on.
No, nor I.
No,
nor I.
Jeez, that kept falling off during the...
That's correct. I thought you were doing that on purpose.
Yeah, I was.
That would explain it. Listen, last night at the Gate, you were tremendous.
Thank you very much.
It was tremendous. Yeah. I missed your wonderful voice, but of course, no chance.
There's no speaking. There's no speaking in that.
No, it's all Penelope Wilton.
Penelope Wilton. I know her well. I've known her for years. She's been in the theatre with me in London, and a lot of stage work I've done with her.
But your introduction to the Gate, you pretended you were on your way to... Is that true, that you pretended you were on your way to Hollywood or something?
No, that was with Michael McLaren.
McLaren, yes.
Yeah, but it had nothing to do with the Gate.
Right.
I didn't realise it.
Yes.
He was doing a play at the big theatre in Dublin, and I had to I went to see him, and I asked him if he had any chance of a part, and he said, yeah, sure, give me a part, no speaking.
Yes.
Terrible. And we toured Europe.
Amazing stuff.
Yeah. I told him I was going to America to play a leading part in Broadway.
Mm.
So how anyone can say that to him and then ask him if he can do a walk-on part here? He must have really, he didn't give me...
Oh, maybe. Or maybe he was quite taken with you.
Maybe that's what it was. Yeah. I don't know.
But the amazing thing about your acting, it seems to me, as I watched over the years, is that even though you play bad people and you play horrible people at times, there's an immense likability about how you play the roles.
Well, good. We all got a bit of righteousness in us, haven't we? It doesn't matter what sort of part we're playing. It just comes out.
Yes.
I'm doing a film in London soon, and that's about those people who destroyed all that, stole all the stuff out of that...
Safety deposit.
Oh, the heist.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I'm in there.
So, are you?
Yeah.
Do you know, well, of course you do, what part you're playing?
When I'm playing, I do a bit of speaking in it, but I don't go in the building. I stand outside and I'll talk right there, you know, all the time. I say, what's going on here? And all that comes out. That's London. And so that's what I play. And also drive a car. There's a car in it. And when did all the robbers come out driving around the block?
Because you love cars.
I love cars, yeah.
It's your great, one of your great passions.
Yeah, I love cars. And I've got four cars at the moment, but I can't remember what they're called.
What colour are they? And we'll deduce what they might be.
Yeah.
What sort of cars do you...
I've got an R8, which is a two-seater, fast, soft-top car.
Oh, wow.
An Audi R8.
Yeah, I have. Yeah. But you love collecting. You're an avid collector.
Yeah, I collect firearms.
Yes, you do.
You can fire them, but the police will allow you to have them. They're all antique. They come from the 16th, 17th, 18th century.
Is it dueling pistols you have?
Those as many other things.
Right.
But all pistols, and some are very... I love Irish pistols because they're particularly beautiful. And highly, beautifully made.
But
I've got a whole rank of those.
You're like a craftsman. I mean, you work on these, don't you?
I used to be a precision engineer, I've learned all that stuff. I can play it. I can do it easily. I spend most of my life in my work. I've got three workshops at home, and I do drilling and every aspect of engineering.
So it takes you out of yourself, if you will. You immerse yourself in this.
I become a part of...
isn't that interesting?
I talk like that, you know.
When you're doing it?
Yeah.
Does that help you in some way?
Or sometimes I talk like that.
Do depending on the history.
I mean, at the National Theatre, for instance, when I'm there and Laurence Olivier would come in, or whoever was there, Peter Hall would come in, and he'd say, oh, could you get me a coffee? Peter, all right, can I have a coffee for Peter, please? You see? And then he's standing there, and then my mate comes in, who's an Irish. He said, you all right, Mike? I said, yeah. He's one of the cleaners. He said, can you get me a coffee? I said, all right. Can I have a coffee for Johnny here? He's not very happy at the moment. And then a bit later, another fella comes in. Hi, Michael, you all right? I said, yeah, I'm all right. What are you doing here? And he said, I'm just mucking about, you know. I said, would you want a cup of coffee then, Jackie? So there's three of them there, all of different generations, and I'm the only one who can do their accents. I gave him a cup of coffee. That's all right.
But it just comes out. And it's a musical ear, I bet. Yeah. That has to be
three. There's three things I've got.
Funny. Isn't that funny?
Yeah,
well, now it's getting dangerous.
Now
it's very dodgy.
Yeah.
For the heist, that could be quite good.
You'd be right.
I think it might be. But again, the accents. I love the fact you can... Because is it because of a musical ear? Is it because you're Irish? What is that, I wonder? Because when you were in Dancing at Lunasa...
Yeah, I was in that. Yes,
remember that? Meryl Streep.
Here.
Which was the movie.
Which is known.
Yes, you did.
Yes. It never made any money.
It never, no.
The thing it went out, but it was never very...
Yeah, and it's a shame because it was such a great work.
Yeah.
But again, what I'm saying is, it's the accents again.
Yeah.
I'm playing with all those
That's
voices.
Right. That's which right. I love all that.
Yeah. I get the impression that you love life. You love all you talk about the dueling pistols, for example.
Yeah.
Or you talk about the cars.
Yeah.
Or you talk, so it's passions. You love
that's right.
You're passionate.
I love objects, things of steel.
Yeah,
like steel,
and also the clockmaking.
Clockmaking, yeah, repairing clocks and making clocks.
Yes,
I'm obsessed by that too.
And would you still engage in that? The clock.
Yeah, well, it takes longer time.
Right.
As you get older, your memory starts going, and I get annoyed, and then I sort
of... But you'd get, because it's so fiddly, it'll be...
Yeah, they're very highly accurate things, so you have to be very careful. And, you know, I've been sitting with clockmakers for years, looking at the way they do the clock, and it's good for the mind.
Michael, tell the story of the great... Was he a clockmaker, or was he making guns, repairing guns? This guy that you used to watch...
He worked at
Turdy's
or somewhere like that, or another company, gunmaker. He was a gunmaker.
Was obsessed, and this was the best guy in England.
He's 98, and he says, if you sack me, I can't, I'll die. So they employ him 3 days a week, and he's a brilliant man. I was behind him, looking like that, looking down. He was leaning over, and he was doing the top of a gun with files.
Yes.
And I said, God, I said, how do you do that? I said, that accuracy, the accuracy of going up there. He'd never spoken to me before. And he said, I said, why do you... He said, why don't you go f***?
Nice man, then.
And it's like being hit with a brick.
Oh, yes, it is.
I said, oh, so I walked away, and I went to the other men in the toolmakers, and they all said, oh, don't take that to him. He's a nutcase. That was it.
But he had his ability, and all you were trying to do was say...
Oh, I was trying to...
I'm really impressed.
I couldn't believe the flatness for the work he was doing.
Wow.
And I just said, God almighty.
Were you hurt by that?
Oh, well, I'd be frightened by it.
His
voice come out of there.
Yeah.
Why don't you go?
Like you meet a hero sometimes, and they can let you down. You were a pilot of what?
Light aircraft.
Light aircraft?
I learned it at Biggin Hill. It took 6 months to learn how to fly the aeroplane. So you go up in the aeroplane, and then finally, at the end of the time, when you've nearly qualified, you have to go and fly again, but with an instructor next to you, or a big, important man. He said, now put this on. I put it on over my head, and then you can't see anything. You know, you see the instrument, and then you sit there, and he's flying the airplane. He's taken over. And I'm sitting there like that. He said, now I'm turning to the right. The aircraft goes to the right. Quite a long time in the turn. I'm making a note of all which way we're going. The aircraft goes again. Now I'm going to climb. He begins to climb 1,000 feet. Now I'm turning to the right again. Then he stops telling you what he's doing. So now the airplane is doing all different things. And I'm thinking in my mind all the time, because I've got to get back to Biggin. And, of course, I didn't know how to.
No.
I couldn't. And eventually it was like a nightmare. And I kept looking at him sitting there. Because now I'd taken the helmet off, because he told me to get home. He said, you drive back to Biggin Hill. Fly back to Biggin Hill. So I was looking at him. He wouldn't give anything. He was just looking like that. And the aircraft was turning. And eventually, I think I saw an airfield in the distance. I thought, oh, that must be Biggin. So I called them on the RT, and I couldn't get any reply. So I tried, and I thought, oh, there must be damage in some way. So I began a descent, power off, towards the aircraft. And he suddenly said to me, what do you think you're doing?
Sounds like a clockmaker.
I said, I'm approaching Biggin. He said, oh, are you? Biggin, is it? I said, yeah. He said, well, carry on a bit. And I come down closer and closer. And in the distance, I could see a building across the runway.
Right.
It was completely another airport. Not far from Biggin Hill, but he didn't took the controls.
That's amazing.
No, I love all that.
And therefore, you mustn't have a lot of fear in you if you'll do things like
that. No, I don't. No, I don't. Not frightened of it flying.
Really?
No.
No, but I mean to be in control as well.
Well, if you know what, you're convinced by yourself and you know where you're going. You're not going to make mistakes.
And has that helped you, do you think, in your profession? Do you think that you have that within you, that it's a self-belief you must have?
Yes.
Because otherwise you're going to... other people are going to take your roles and whatever.
It depends how... I've done plays in the theatre that I've been not good in. And you know you're not good.
You feel this, Mike?
Yeah.
Okay.
And you know you're not good, and you don't get any presents or rewards for it, because it's not my sort of thing. So I've done lots of plays that are not my sort of thing, and lots of plays that really work well, that I fit. And if you don't fit, then it's a problem. But when you're young, you do anything that's offered to you.
For sure.
Whether it's good or bad. So yeah. I've done many times when I can't fit in.
I'll tell you one thing you certainly fit in, and that was Fortitude.
Yeah, I like that.
That was
I like
amazing.
That very much.
I was bitterly disappointed, though, that you passed away at the end of it. I thought I was killed. Yes, I know you were.
But I always
Mike Milligan would say you can't argue with facts like that. Yeah. I just thought you'd stay on a bit longer. I really enjoyed that.
It's good fun.
That was brilliant.
They're doing it again now, aren't they?
Yeah, but you won't be in it. There'll be someone. Dennis Quaid, I think, is in it, or somebody.
Is he?
I think so.
Oh, I don't like him.
Oh, good. He'll be thrilled to hear that.
I don't mean that.
But it was great. But it was gripping. It was very odd. It was very odd.
Yeah.
But then, you go back to a certain detective many years ago. That was pretty odd, too.
Singing detective.
When you think about it.
Yeah, that was a massive success.
Wasn't that a huge success?
Huge success.
When you think about it now.
It took us 7 months to make it.
Did it?
Yeah. And then it ran on for years.
Amazing. Right. It was one of those things that, in terms of television, it made a huge impact.
Yeah, massive.
Informed by Michael that you've never watched yourself on television.
I can't do that.
Why?
I just get embarrassed.
Do you?
Yeah. I've once or twice with something that's important peeped through the door.
Sure.
But I can't.
Why not?
I don't know. I'm an actor on the stage, which I have been all my life.
Yeah.
I've never seen myself.
Of course.
So I'm not likely to want to see myself in a film. So I'd rather not see this person.
People are very keen, in fairness, though.
Stage acting is completely
different. It is completely different.
I never see yourself.
Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it, when we talk about the theatre and you talk about Beckett and all the things you've done.
Yeah.
You know, Dumbledore is going to be on the...
I know. Kids stop me in the street with Dumbledore.
Isn't it true?
Yeah.
Isn't it true?
Yeah.
You enjoy that?
What, being stopped in the street?
No, being Dumbledore.
I don't mind it.
Yeah.
I know, if it's kids, it's all right, I sign autographs.
Yeah, and they loved it.
Because it's children, I love them. But the first actor who left after 2 years, didn't he?
Yes.
And I took over.
Richard Harris,
Richard
died.
Harris, yeah, God bless him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I played for the next 6 years.
That's right, you did.
It was 8 years
old. That's right, you came in and... my daughter told me that it was Azkaban. Now, there you are.
Yeah.
The other story I heard was about the actress Samantha Eggar. Back in the day. A very plain woman, I believe.
Yes.
Very, very plain.
I can't talk about Samantha Eggar.
No, that's fine. But the one... No.
I can't mention.
But it was when you were acting. You were talking about when you were trying to pretend you stayed in a particular dress in London.
Oh, yeah. Well, I told Samantha Eggar once. She asked me where I lived.
Yes.
And I only met her once in my life,
yes.
That's all. And she said, where do you live? And I said, in Chelsea, which didn't through at all. I lived down in the back end of London. She said, no, Chelsea. She said, I live in Chelsea.
Yes.
I said, oh, she said, what road are you in? I said, I'm in the country. Oh, I'm in St. Street. She said, what? I said, I mean, it's Harley Street. What street? I said, so she was driving home in a taxi. And I got in the taxi, and I thought I had only 10p on me. And I was thinking, as a cab drove towards Chelsea, how hell I was going to get out of this, because the man pays, isn't he?
Yes, he does.
Well, I immediately had start planning in my brain what I was going to do. So when we got to Josie, to her house, I think, and the cab stopped outside, she made no move to pay the money. So I got out of my side of the car, and I threw myself right at the railing. And down to my feet. Ah! And a big cut across here. Gee!
For every actor.
Yeah. She might run around. She said, "Are you all right?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, I don't know who you are." Then she could pick me up and took me into the house.
Incidentally, why haven't you written the book?
I don't write books.
No, I know you. I know. But
I don't like to talk to people about everything I've said in my life has been wrong, or devious.
Really?
Or plain or true. And putting that in a book would be appalling. And so I've had people ask me to write a book or to write that book. And I suppose people are free to write a book, aren't they?
Yes.
But no one's ever done it, and I wouldn't ever allow it.
There was one book. There was one book about the actor. It was a book.
Oh, it was an American.
That's right.
Definitely. A nice fella.
Oh, right. Okay.
He just talked about the daily routine.
Of acting?
Yeah, where you park your car and how you're going to get in. And
well, that's a laugh.
Yeah. Mm. No, but there weren't many laughs in. And he was a nice man, but geez, he just drove sit in the car all day while I drove him around London.
Oh, you met him? Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right. Oh, I didn't realise you had been with him.
Oh,
I see.
Oh, yeah.
That's quite different.
Yeah, he took me to different houses.
Did he?
Yeah, I can't remember what they were.
Public houses, or were they public houses, or
no. Big posh houses? Oh. And we anyway.
I'll tell you one thing you can remember, that is your time here at the Gate this year.
The Gate.
Yeah, have you enjoyed it?
I love it. I love the Gate. I love the play. I love the building, the way the things are, and the way the things controlled and what happens. It's very friendly, nice company.
It was really lovely. It's to meet you again and to spend some time in your company. I've really enjoyed it.
But I'm sorry, I'm such an idiot.
You're not. You're a wonderful company.
I get frightened.
Of what?
People.
But you're a pilot, a man with more dueling pistols than I could shake a stick at.
That's nothing to do with being frightened.
No, but you're well covered in the event of any outbreak of hostility.
Scared before he goes on.
You get nervous before you go on.
Oh, yeah.
Still.
I have to sit. Well, I think most actors really get frightened before they go on the stage.
Is that? Well, it's you, so I can't ask the question, is it better or not? It's you. It's how you operate.
Yeah. In new plays, when a new play starts, most actors are really terrified. Like big theatre, like the National Theatre.
Yes.
Where you're going into a play, you rehearse for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and the night's coming, no one can help you. It's done, there's no one control as the audience.
Can I ask a question then?
What?
You've done a lot of films, you do a lot of telly, but last night is the first time in a while since you met with an audience reaction.
Yeah.
And was that a surprise?
Well, it was complete silence all night.
Yeah.
I've never been in a play. The audience were completely, not a word said.
No.
And that was wonderful to feel that on the stage. To be sitting there with the audience there, and you can't see anyone, of course, but there's silence.
And then the reaction at the end.
A bit more.
Well, I mean, you got 3 standing ovations, if not more. So people.
Really, I was truly shocked and happy about it.
And happy about it. And you were very humble about it, the way you left the stage and stuff as well, because you.
All right.
Yeah, but it seems to me part of a great part of your appeal is the fact that you take it seriously, take your work seriously.
Yeah, I do.
But you like life and you like to live it, and therefore you.
I like the
people want you.
I like to tell lies, I like to make people laugh.
Well, thank you for the half an hour of lies you've just shared.
There were no lies just now.
Oh, that's good.
I don't think there was one. Maybe a little one.
We'll have to search it.
I don't know whether. Well, I don't know. There might have been a lie there somewhere. I wouldn't know where it was.
Well, we'll have the legal lads have a look at it.
Well, have a look at this.
Michael Gammon, God bless you. A real pleasure. Thank you so much. Thank you.